This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On X at JWright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But there's always the option to listen live on the Odyssey app. And also, Odyssey Sports is giving listeners a chance to win an epic trip. It's a flyaway to Las Vegas with you and three friends, plus $20,000 spending cash. And it's all going to happen over the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. All you have to do is download the Odyssey app, listen for 1 hour each day, and you're automatically entered to win. It's the slam dunk in Las Vegas. It includes round-trip airfare, 5 nights at the Circa in Las Vegas, plus $20,000. That's $5,000 for you and three friends to go watch the exciting, most exciting weekend of the college basketball season. My company, as he is each and every Thursday on the program, he writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him on X at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. And if you would like to add to the intro that I am, in fact, not the general manager of the New Mexico State football staff, that would be greatly appreciated because the DMs have gotten way too full of high school football prospects sending me huddle tape that I have no use for because of a case of mistaken identity. I finally had to go public with it today that I'm in fact not former Tennessee Titans running back David Cobb, now of New Mexico State. And we just need to let the people know that.
Yeah. It's also a tough spot for you also because like you don't want to besmirch the good name of a former Vol like that or New Mexico State. But it's also not like, hey, the creme de la creme are sending you their huddle highlights. Like, you know, you're having to. It's not like you could discover someone. You couldn't go all like Sean Tuohy and Leanne Tuohy and maybe adopt one of these guys and somehow, you know, profit off kidnapping. But it's also a tough scene because I can relate to this a little bit. My name is Jeffrey Wright. I am not Academy Award winner. I think Academy Award winner, at least multi-time Academy Award nominee, Jeffrey Wright, the actor. Because I used to always make a joke. I wanted my Twitter handle originally to be not the actor. And this is before I met former producer Ben Hogan, whose Twitter handle is not the golfer. Like, Ben and I became friends, but it's not like when I knew. That was way later in life. But Ben actually went through with it. Not the golfer, Ben Hogan.
Well, it's great to clarify. And apparently the clarification needs to be made. Because when these high school prospects are looking at my Twitter profile, They're thinking, yeah, this is the New Mexico State running backs coach. When in fact I'm not. But I applaud these kids that they're flooding my DMs with their GPAs and their 40 times. And look, I mean, the kids out there, they've got great GPAs. Now there are a few who didn't send their GPAs.
That's great inflation. Come on. Oh no, those are the guys I want to talk to though.
Well, they're probably gonna have to go the JUCO route.
Does anyone really have to do that anymore?
It's a privilege now. You can
that's a good question.
Like, your eligibility.
Now. Because I actually thought some of the mid-major football programs, listen, it's not a perfect formula for them, But let's be real. The system's never going to be tilted in their favor. But I did think that, you know, there was an opportunity for some programs if they just leaned into, we are going to recruit the high school guys that are kind of in between. They're not the first pick of the SEC schools, but the SEC schools, it's the classic, hang on, back when we used to have really a signing day in February that we cared about, which we don't anymore, when you had the SEC schools like, hold tight, if a couple of things break a certain way, we're going to take you. If you go after like those guys and you say, you can come and play here, and then if you want to go back into the portal and redo it again, you can do that. I now think like junior college offers probably maybe even a better route. Now, obviously, the money of junior college programs is nowhere near. You're not going to play on TV, and there's the whole junior college. But it's like, if I can basically not start my eligibility clock and do this, like that to me makes a little bit more sense than going the MAC route, if you will.
Well, I've got enough interested prospects who have reached out to me to where we can start a college program. Don't know how good it would be.
I want you to know, if we're starting a college program, we will be starting on the, of all the kids that sent you the tape, we are starting with the kids that didn't send their GPAs. Those are the kids that I want to know about.
they're the ones we want. Yeah,
especially if they play defense. Especially if they play defense.
For sure. But no, the real David Cobb retweeted me. And the fact is, I mean, I'm also a 2004 presidential candidate for the Green Party. I'm also an award-winning music producer. There's just too many David Cobbs out there, man.
Yeah, you're in kind of a tough spot. It's like fairly common first name, fairly common last name.
Maybe I should really lean into the W initial, you know?
Yeah.
Because some writers, they really lean into that initial. Maybe I should just be like W Cobb.
Yeah, I almost wish, you need to flip the order because there's nothing like the, I love the initial before the first name. Like F. Scott Fitzgerald.
That's how you know
that
you're going to be showing up in the top five of the writing awards contest.
Well, there's also, like with F. Scott Fitzgerald, the other thing I used to always love about him is whenever you read like A Movable Feast with Hemingway talking about when they were living the expat life in Paris, Hemingway would only refer to him as Scotty. Like you can, that way, the people that actually know you, the people that are your friend, they know him as David, not W. David. Like I always love it.
Yeah.
Same thing with like Robert De Niro. Whenever you hear an actor call him Bobby, like that's always a big blowhard move. Like, oh yeah, me and Bobby were having dinner the other night.
Well, growing up, I was always just Cobb because there was another David in our circle. And so I would just go by the last name. It was just easier. So I'm fine with that. You know, you can just call me Cobb. That's kind of what I go by, honestly. But I'll answer to anything. So it's just a mistaken identity. But people on Twitter are loving this and pointing out the fact that, you know, I'm not technically a coach, but I do run some really advanced stuff on CFB 25. So maybe I could be a coach.
That's true. Nobody runs an offense quite like you do. I mean,
right.
Listen, there's a market out there. We gotta figure out what the secret is. All right, let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. Cobb and I stayed up late. Cobb was on baby duty. I was on the, oh my God, I've got 4 hours of radio today, so I'm going to have to watch intently, take notes and watch the Grizzlies. And it was fabulous because last night, right about what, 2.5 minutes into the third quarter, I'm getting ready to text you. I can't believe I stayed up for this. You were basically, you just like, as I'm getting ready to type it, you basically just said like, I can't believe we stayed up for this.
Yeah, I had no choice. So I sympathize more with you. So it's either another episode of Boardwalk Empire or the Grizzlies. So I actually prefer the West Coast games because it gives me some live sports to chew on when I'm up late with the baby. But that was gross, man. That third quarter was about as bad as I've seen the Grizzlies play.
I got to give your beautiful bride a hat tip. Now, I don't know if maybe you'll pay the price for this in the long run, but the fact that she lets you stay up and watch TV with her, that is such a win. Because Aaliyah, when Josephine was, you know, in that first 3 months, if Josephine would, you know, cry in the middle of the night, I'm a night owl. Like, I actually thought, like, oh, this is the perfect setup. My wife is not a night owl. I am. And I was like, middle of the night, I'll handle her. Like the first time that I take Josephine into the living room so we can watch TV while, you know, I just have her in the little rocker, like, Aaliyah just gets up in just an absolute rage. Like, She doesn't sleep in here. This is you just trying to make it easier on yourself. It's like, hold on, baby. It's 3rd and 10. You know, like let me at least, like, I know you're going to keep yelling, but like, let me at least, like, I got to focus up here. It's a big 3rd down play.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she didn't want the baby watching the screen for like mental or like reasons or whatever.
Oh,
but
no,
there's no choice. Like, no. In our profession, like, I'm sorry, but this child's going to grow up watching sports every night. Yeah. Like, there is no choice. I mean, it's, I got a job to do, you know, yeah. Like, I got to watch these games.
Well, and sweetie, if you want to go to private school, you better work really hard for the white team.
Right,
just
exactly.
Saying.
Yeah.
Just
your
saying.
College fund, yeah. is on the line.
Just saying,
here.
If you want to go out of state, we really need the white team to win here.
Yeah, I was explaining to her last night. I had a bunch of college games on. I actually had Samford and Chattanooga on, which are two schools that I have ties to. And I was like, we could do Chattanooga now. You'll have to work hard for the scholarships at Samford. Then we also had Ole Miss and South Carolina. And I was like, let's evaluate your character midway through high school before we decide whether or not you're going to be going to an out-of-state SEC school known for partying. But, you know, we'll not rule it out just yet.
Yeah, and it's like, obviously, like, where you end up living also is going to matter to a certain degree. But, yeah, no, there's always, like, the reality of, like, if your kid comes in and says they want to go to out-of-state SEC school, it's like, can you really tell me the difference? But, like, why this one versus another one?
Well, I'll tell you the difference. It's going to be a $75,000
right.
in student
right.
debt.
Listen, I'm giving you a chance to make a presentation here. Like, you could...
Exactly.
And let's be real. Let's be real. Our opinion's not going to matter. It's literally going to be whatever our wives say.
Well, it depends, right? It depends. It's always interesting. I don't know what y'all's approach is on this, but, you know, we're talking, like, we need to go ahead and start a college fund and all this, and it's like, we do, but then, like, how much autonomy do you then give your child over what to do with that money, right? Because if they want to go to an elite private school, that's great, but are you going to actually go and major in something where you can pay that off, or are you going to go and major in, I don't know,
One of my buddies, so his dad's a massive, massive Tennessee fan, but his mom went to Vandy. I hope I'm not giving away too much, but at one point, like, basically, that's kind of what he was pretty much deciding between. He ends up going to Vandy and going to law school at Tennessee, but that was kind of his decision. And his dad, who's making a push for his only boy to make sure he's a Vol, I just want you to know, son, there is an account that has the money to cover you going to Vanderbilt, but I intend to give you what's left of it. So if you want to go to Tennessee, you can start off on the right foot.
But you think about it. If you go to Vandy and you don't flunk out, you could actually probably make the case that you'll recoup that amount in wage earnings over the course of your lifetime. I mean, I love Tennessee, right? A lot of friends of mine who went there doing quite well for themselves. Great school. But if you go to Vandy, I mean, if you're able to get in and you're able to make, let's say, on average, $40,000 more per year over the span of your career, you know, that could be the wiser choice.
Yeah, I think, though, and who knows what it's going to be in 18 years when our daughters are going to school. But my big push will be, if you're going to college, please do something that results in a job.
Oh, that's why I was so terrified. I was like, I'm going to major in journalism. I got to make this work. I can't go there and major in journalism and squander the hard work of my parents just to go out and then become some insurance salesman. Shout out to all my insurance salesman friends out there, but like,
we're all doing better than us.
It's like, I gotta at least like make this work. I can't squander their hard work on just skating through the easiest academic program with no actual job prospects.
Yeah, it's like, sweetie, your dad went to college and he majored in business, and it's not because your dad wanted to be a businessman. It's because he looked around and was like, well, I guess that's what I should do. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And it's like, I got into the business world. I was like, please get me out of this. I want to go talk about sports, which, by the way.
Well, the truth is, it didn't hurt you, did it, right? Because you can go and major in business and still get into journalism. That's the dirty secret they don't tell you. Like, if you know from like age one that you want to go to J school, okay, great. Go to like Missouri's J school or Northwestern's J school or something. But like, the hard truth of it is, you can go and major in anything, and you can get experience in journalism while majoring in poli sci if you want to.
Yeah, I think the real question will be like, sweetie, what do you want to do? Do you want to be on TV? Because if you want to be on TV, there's two schools we're going to look at. We're either sending you to Syracuse or we're sending you to Northwestern. We'll figure out how to pay for it. Other than that, like, you know, if that's what we really want to do, like, that's the way to go about it. But I think the other thing is, like, take your summer seriously. Like, get real internships and get in front of people that can hire you.
Yeah. It's all about the extracurriculars in this game, brother.
Yeah. All right, we delayed it long enough. So here's our first device. So we're at the All-Star break. And obviously, last night was not exactly a ton of fun to watch as a Grizzlies viewer.
No.
And so I thought David and I would create a nice, safe space to offer some confessions. So for all the people out there that hate going negative, we're coming it from a place of honesty. This is a place of fear. This is what we're watching, and this is how we feel. Maybe we'll find that we talk it out and that's an irrational fear. But the idea is to come in with some confessions. So we'll do that. Eric's going to join us in a little bit. We'll get into the list. Cobb's got a story about PJ Haggerty and where he ranks amongst the guards. Also, Jeff Borzello had a piece on Penny up over at ESPN.com if you want to go read that. But also, the Tigers take on USF tonight. Let's talk some Tigers. We'll do that during the list. Jason Smith's going to join us as well. All right, I'll go first. So this was something I kind of stumbled upon thinking through. Okay, I don't want to be this team is second in the West. I didn't look today. I don't know if they still have the fourth best record in the NBA, but they're around there. And I don't want to be the team like, this team stinks. I'm not that guy. I really am not. For those that think I have hot takes, these are all opinions that I have. But it's undeniable to me that there have clearly been, maybe the Grizzlies are kind of like a Rorschach test. Like, you see what you want to see. If you're someone that sees that, hey, this team is really good, there's plenty of evidence to point to this team is really good. But if you're also someone out there who goes, man, when this team goes up against good defenses, they get punked, because we saw that yet again. I also think it's fair to note, last night, if you want to view last night as a schedule loss, you can 100% can do that. The Grizzlies were on the second night of a back-to-back. The Clippers had been kicking their feet up at home for 3 days. Like, that's a tough scene to walk into. Kawhi played. They had basically the whole arsenal. Like, losing that game is not like some sound the alarms. Still not one in California all year. But you could also see the same problems that have plagued them all year. But I was also thinking about it in terms of, why does this feel a little more anxious than maybe it should? Because the Grizzlies are still likely to exceed all expectations. They're probably going to surpass their win total. They are almost assuredly at this point going to finish, I feel like, no worse than fourth. So they're going to be hosting a home playoff series. That's going to exceed all the preseason expectations. But there's kind of this up and down nature. And so I started thinking about it. Okay, we have two other examples where the Grizzlies finish second in the West and they had very different moods around it. So obviously the first time the Grizzlies finished second in the West, tied the franchise record for wins and win the division for the first time. That's like in 2022, that's the ultimate gravy year. Like, oh my God, look at this young team. They feel like they're ahead of schedule. Anything that happens, like, I'd love to see us win a playoff series, but anything beyond that, it's all gravy. That to me is like the extreme, this is fun. Well, then you contrast it with the next season where they still finished second in the West, did not have as many wins, but the West, in terms of a win-loss record, was a little bit down that season. Then you have the Ja incident. You have the way that they exit against the Lakers, just getting throttled, the whole Dylan Brooks drama, everything. Not a ton of fun. So I think it's fair to say it's not that year, but I think it's also fair to say it's not the previous year either. It's somewhere in the middle. And I started thinking, it's like, why does this feel so up and down, up and down, up and down? And then, not that I think this is like some deep insight, but then I just started to realize, like,
as a fan base, are we just riding the Ja Morant wave? Because this season has been very, like, Ja starts off at the beginning of the year. And honestly, I felt like he's playing some of his best basketball ever. And it was fun at that point. Well, then Ja dislocates his hip. And since then, it's been kind of an up and down, up and down. There's been a lot of good moments. There's been some bad moments. But even with a game like last night, like, I'm not saying, oh, they lost because Ja didn't play. But I'm thinking, like, the wave that we seem to ride seems to mirror Ja. Like, when Ja's bouncing around, you know, you're a golf guy. When Rory McIlroy starts kind of doing the bounce in his walk,
oh yeah,
that's when you know, like, oh, it's on. Ja can kind of do the same thing. Like, Ja doesn't hide his emotions. You know how Ja's feeling one way or the other. And it seems to me it's like when Ja's going well, everyone else is like, heck yeah. Like, we're in, whatnot. But when Ja is starting to get frustrated and whatnot, that's when it feels like everybody else starts sniping at each other. Like, I almost feel like, as a fan base, our mood is just completely dictated by, like, how Ja's feeling that day.
And in some way, that should leave you encouraged about where this team could go after the All-Star break, because he's been so in and out of the lineup that it makes the Grizzlies not unlike the team they played last night. Kawhi Leonard. The Clippers are 8-3 when he plays 24-plus minutes. So he plays a season-high 34 against the Grizzlies last night, two off of a season-high with 25 points. Well, all of a sudden, the Clippers look like the best version of themselves. The Grizzlies didn't have that last night. They didn't have Ja Morant. So that was a try game for the Clippers. And the Clippers looked like they could contend in the Western Conference with the way they played last night, because their star, who's been in and out of the lineup, missed the first chunk of the season, was healthy, available, and at his peak. If you get Memphis with its star healthy, available, and at his peak, you could very well have the tide reversed in that situation if Kawhi Leonard is unavailable. So I did some napkin math here, and I've got the Grizzlies at 9-14 versus the top 11 teams in the Western Conference.
All right.
So I drew the line at the Spurs. The Spurs, Trailblazers, Jazz, and Pelicans threw those results out. The bottom four in the West don't count. They're 9-14 against the top 11 in the conference, and they're 27-4 versus all others in the NBA. And a couple of those losses are to the Eastern Conference contenders. So it's just a matter of getting it done against the elite teams in the West. And I think it's, Jeffrey, I'm concerned about their ability to do that. And I feel like their ability to win a playoff series is wholly contingent upon matchups. And that's not where you want to be. And that's my concern, because even with Ja, I've got him at 6-7 versus Western Conference contenders. So they're better when he's there versus the top teams in the West, but they're still not a 500 team against the top teams in the West, even with him. So that's my fear. That's my concern. That's my worry, is their ability to actually go out, win a 7-game series against one of these other really solid teams in the West.
Yeah, I was trying to see. All right, if you sort by defensive rating, okay, the Thunder, they're 0-2. Clippers, they're 0-2, correct? Or are they 0-3?
2, I think, right?
I think they're 0-2. Magic, I think they're 1-0. They played them early, like, I want to say maybe second game of the year. I don't remember if they played them. I don't think they played them since. Rockets, they're 1-3. Boston, they're 1-0. Minnesota, they're 2-0. Cavs, they've not played yet. They'll play them twice after the All-Star break. Golden State, they are 1-2, I believe. And then Miami, let's see, with Miami, is that right? They haven't, I swear to God, they played the Heat, but they have not. I don't think they played the Heat yet. So they haven't played the Heat. Those are the top 10 defenses, and they're sixth. So I guess that's kind of the larger question. It's like, how much is fair to worry for those same things, because they have been shuffling in and out of the lineup, and Ja's not consistently played. Like, I don't know. But I think there's also another, like, larger point. It's like, if they want to, like, put those fears aside, when they get again one of those games, like, maybe have, like, a good performance. Because even the Rockets game,
Didn't you feel like in the Rockets win, it was almost like, oh my God, how did we win this game?
Absolutely. And that was on your home floor. So if you're looking for examples of them beating high caliber Western Conference teams on the road, they are really difficult to find. And it depends on how you view Phoenix as well, because they won at Phoenix on New Year's Eve, and then they won at Phoenix the other night. Aside from those, your only other wins on the road against playoff caliber teams in the West is the win over the Timberwolves middle of last month. And we know the Grizzlies sort of have the T-Wolves number. So I've reached the conclusion, Jeffrey, my honest confession is, unless they're matched up with Minnesota, I don't necessarily love their chances of winning a first round series. Now, if Phoenix were to somehow end up in the sixth spot,
no, I was gonna say, give me all of the Suns. Like that was kind of the other thing, is like this back to back showed me two things. Like, again, I have no idea if Phoenix is gonna get out of the play-in. Like, who knows at this point? Like, someone that thinks they're gonna make the play-in is not gonna make the play-in. But it's like, if the Grizzlies got matched up in that 2-7 game with the Suns, I would not fear that at all. But if they somehow got into a 3-6 with the Clippers, that would terrify me.
Here's why, too. I was going through the Clippers roster. So you got James Harden, 11-time All-Star, former MVP. You got Norm Powell, 2019 NBA champion. Kawhi Leonard, 2-time NBA Finals MVP. Ivica Zubac, who's played in 45 playoff games, going up against a rookie in Zach Edey, who's played zero. And then off the bench, you bring out Derrick Jones Jr., who was a key player in the NBA Finals last year, 32-year-old Bogdan Bogdanovic, 36-year-old Nick Batum, who's played in 69 playoff games over his career. And then, they're going to throw in Ben Simmons, too. So, I mean, we've kind of slept on the Clippers here, but you saw with a healthy Kawhi, like, oh my gosh, like these guys actually might not be all that far off.
And I do think, though, that's related. I think there's a lot of people sleeping on the Clippers because I think they've gotten burned the last few years, where people talk themselves into the Clippers and then Kawhi just doesn't play. And so at that point, you're like, okay, whatever. But if they can get something that resembles Kawhi last night, and then also you factor in, when did James Harden start playing team defense?
Yeah, and is Chris Dunn all of a sudden like a high caliber NBA player?
I mean, he looked like last night defensive player of the year. I mean, that was the other thing.
So,
it wasn't just turnovers. It was like one-on-one just bullying, like taking the ball away. Like it looked like when, it looked like a varsity guy going against a freshman guy and just like trying to embarrass him, except it was two NBA guys.
And there's my other confession. It's about sort of the physicality of some of these Grizzlies players, these guys who shoot the ball very well, who are out of this world against the inferior competition, the guys who have helped the Grizzlies go 27-4 against the quote others, but the guys who have probably kind of held them back in that 9-14 record versus contenders. And it's the physicality of Scottie Pippen Jr., who's able to get into the paint and finish against some teams that can't stay in front of him, right? But you go up against physical, athletic, veteran defenders like Norm Powell and Chris Dunn, all of a sudden, you're not getting clean looks in the paint. And then it's Luke Kennard, who's been playing so well offensively, but in a playoff series, are we sure, Jeffrey, that he can go 30 minutes or whatever and be as efficient offensively as he has been? I'd love it if he did. It'd be fantastic. But sleight of frame, and it's kind of the same thing with Jalen Wells and Santi Aldama. The physical difference between some of these guys is that JV varsity thing that you talk about. Like, they've been fantastic, but they're young and they're lean. And it's like, maybe over this All-Star break, they just need to focus on just downing a bunch of protein and calories and trying to get the weight up or something. Because it's just, I don't know that I like these guys, some of these rotation pieces, to help you get over the hump in a 7-game gritty playoff series.
Yeah, I kind of want him to get like on a good old fashioned like 80s Nebraska nutrition plan. That might involve some supplements.
Beef and whatever.
Listen,
there's things you can do.
Listen, just saying. There's some stuff over there.
Like, go Des check. Has some, I think.
Yeah,
can share.
Go check it out. Like, that's the other thing. I think that's an interesting question. So, of teams in the West that you wouldn't want to see, I think we both agree on the Clippers. I have no idea what to do with Lakers or Dallas because I have no idea what they're going to look like. I will say this. I'm not super pumped. Like, even though the Lakers don't have a middle, like, I'm not super pumped to try to figure out how to guard Luka and LeBron in the same series.
Yeah, if you end up playing against the Lakers or the Mavs, you're sort of banking on them not being 100% healthy. Because with the Mavs, I mean, how crazy is this, man? Not only are they getting lambasted for that trade, but then Anthony Davis goes and gets hurt.
Oh, and it was so perfect in the way that he did get hurt. Because I don't know how much of that first half you got to catch on Saturday.
He was killing. I mean, he had a great game.
Awesome. it was like the perfect situation. It's like first half, he's incredible. And like to the point where I'm sure there's plenty of Mavs fans like, Trey was still dumb, but like, let's go Mavs. Like, you know what I mean? And then just getting hurt in a non-contact injury. It's like the Anthony Davis experience.
Yeah, I'd love actually for the Grizzlies to end up against the Mavs. Like the Timberwolves would be my preference in the first round. But if you gave me the option right now, would you play the Mavericks in a first-round playoff series? I would probably say yes. Now, I realize Anthony Davis is a horrible matchup for the Grizzlies. But I don't. Kyrie Irving doesn't put the same fear in me as some of these other high-caliber players that in the West that the Grizzlies can match up with. Because, like, he's slender. He's slider frame. He's not going to bully you. He's kind of a finesse guy in the same way that some of these Grizzlies guys are that I have concerns about. So if you could just find a way to hang with an AD who's coming off of an injury, then I could deal with the Mavs. I'd prefer the Timberwolves, but if the Mavs can somehow work their way up from 8-6 or 8-7, really, yeah, I mean, I can make my peace with a Grizzlies-Mavs series.
People could feel free to clip this. I'd welcome a Warriors series. Ooh, I know it's a little different now with Butler. I still think that I think they have the same problem that the Suns do. Like, I actually think depth would be a problem in that series.
Yeah, no, it could be. That's one thing the Grizzlies have going for them when you look at, like, the Lakers in particular, and probably the Warriors too. Because you go to the Lakers, and yeah, Luka, LeBron, okay, Austin Reeves is a good player. All right, they're rounding out their rotation with what? Rui Hachimura, Jackson Hayes? Okay, whatever, not afraid.
I guess Dalton's back. Neck.
Yeah, he's a rookie. He's back in the rotation after getting not traded. And Gabe Vincent, he's small. He doesn't scare me. So, the depth thing, it's curious, right? Like, how much is that going to help the Grizzlies? Matchup dependent, of course. I would love a Warriors series for the entertainment value. I don't love the matchup, but I love the theater it would bring.
Yeah, I think I welcome that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Eric's going to join the program. He has been traveling back from L.A. We'll get his thoughts on the Grizzlies. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Valentine's Day is, of course, tomorrow. And if you're looking for a last-minute gift option, go over to our friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now through tomorrow, if you shop at Robert Irwin Jewelers and you spend $99 or more, you'll get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates free with your purchase. Some options of things to think about. They're in store. They've got the Diamond Essentials collection. It's a classic collection of crafted diamond solitaire earrings, pendants, and bracelets featuring perfectly matched diamonds with excellent proportions to ensure you get a bigger and brighter sparkle. Prices start at just $5.99. They also have the Love's Crossing Diamond Necklace. It's a stunning necklace, a timeless design that symbolizes the beautiful bond that you share. Those start at $1.99. One of the hottest gift items of the season, though, is the 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet. You can start. You can get yours for $7.99, but hurry on in because it's only for a limited time while supplies last. Also, if you're looking for something in that affordable price range that also shows that you love her, you can get her the Love You to the Moon and Back pendant. It's a beautiful diamond necklace for just $129. The perfect way to say I love you forever. Again, free with every purchase of $99 or more. You get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates. They also have great financing options like 12 months interest-free financing, or you could take up to 60 months to pay. Shop early for the best selection, although a little too late for that. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Eric is still making his way from the plane back to his car, so he's going to join us here as soon as he becomes available. Cobb, I guess getting back to a couple other confessions, I'm not willing to say you were right in the summer, but I, in the spirit of the confession, I've been a little disappointed in Zach Edey. Now, here's why I'm trying to talk through it. What I can't decide is much of my disappointment rooted in the fact that I expected him to be better offensively. Like, I kind of...
Why?
Like, because I thought he'd be better at finishing at the rim.
No, that's true. So his source of points has really become, you know, on offensive rebounds, And when plays kind of break down and the flow of the action just sort of gets him the ball in an unscripted situation.
Yep.
Where he's been less than inspiring, to your point, is when they actually try to get him the ball on the block in a traditional post-up. And he's not been as efficient in those looks as he was or as you thought he might be, based on how just insanely productive he was at Purdue. Anytime you got him the ball on the block in college, it was a bucket or a foul.
Yeah.
That's not the case for him at the NBA level. So that has been disappointing. But he's been great on the board.
Yes, he has.
And he's good depending on the matchup defensively. I think I'm worried. My Zach Edey confession is actually that I underestimated what he could be at the NBA level, because I mean, I was in studio with you over the summer and I was railing on the idea that the Grizzlies might use a lottery pick on a non-shooting immobile center. And the fact that he, you know, that is what he is, yet he's proven to be more effective than I thought he would be. Where my concern though is, and maybe a confession, is that I've got serious concerns about how that looks in the playoffs, when so often it is pick and roll, hunting out a weak defender, and Zach Edey could certainly be susceptible in those situations.
All right, he is kind enough to join us fresh off the airplane. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine, the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer, kind enough to join us from last night. All right, Eric.
Yeah.
Do you agree with this? So, last night can easily be chalked up as a schedule loss. Like, Clippers are kicking 100%. Clippers are kicking their feet up. Grizzlies second night of a back to back.
4 days.
Yes.
4 days. Not just like two, like four.
Yes.
Like they hadn't played since Saturday and they got Kawhi Leonard back because of that.
And
so,
that was
turns out
that mattered. My big takeaway though from the Tuesday and Wednesday night that we just watched a basketball, if the Grizzlies found themselves matched up with the Suns in a first round matchup, I would welcome that. If the Grizzlies found themselves matched up with the Clippers, I would not welcome that. I would send it back.
I think that's fair. They're the type of team, the way they're built, the same kind of length and size and interchangeable pieces around the perimeter as teams like the Thunder. They're obviously not as skilled as the Thunder everywhere. But when you can throw Harden and Powell and Leonard, even though Leonard's not the same player he once was.
He looked pretty damn good last night.
Yeah. I thought the ball kind of stops with him. I think there's some rhetoric there that they're better without him in terms of overall team play. Now, I mean, obviously it's Kawhi Leonard, and if he's right, he can do what he did last night at times. But there were times where it hurt them, I thought. But you look at that group, and basically they are a lot like the Grizzlies were years ago, with a bunch of guys that have fought their way into the league, fought for their opportunity, second round picks, undrafted guys, and then you have Harden and Leonard. Other than that, you know, Zubats worked his way through. The Lakers gave him up for nothing, and he's killing you. So I think there's a way the Grizzlies can be successful against them. The way is not, you know, trying to drive and jump in the air and kick the ball out, because that's what the Clippers are trying to get you to do. Ty Lue's a really good coach. Taylor Jenkins alluded to it. They love coaching against each other because Ty Lue's also said how good Taylor is. And as Taylor said, coaching against Ty Lue is like a chess match. He's trying to think one move ahead of you. So if you go back to that first quarter when they, you know, the shots were coming up short to start, you're down 9-0, and we're all like, all right, here we go. You know, kind of saw this coming. And then they get hot. And you're like, okay, good. Ball was moving. Everybody's flowing. And then they get in the second quarter, and it's driving the lane, trying to drop a pass through three defenders. If you saw what the Clippers did defensively, they just started backing away once the ball got on the ground. Once the dribble penetration happened, they weren't worried about guys walking into a three from that area. So I just think there just can be some adjustments made. The biggest adjustment is stop giving up, you know, 30-plus points off turnovers every time you play them. The problem is they're live ball turnovers. There's a reason why they're leading the league, or tops of the league, and steals are up near the top. So just got to take a little bit better care of the basketball. It's not a good matchup here as of right now, but, you know, the facilitating part is where the Grizzlies have to get better. When Ja Morant's not on the floor, you have to have someone who's got a little bit more ball security working that way. And, you know, I think still these guys, when we break it down, and I'm not making excuses, you got a lot of guys that haven't played a lot together. You know, J. G.G. Jackson has not played a lot with Ja Morant. He's played a little bit. He's played with Jaren Jackson, and that's about it. And then you talk about the other players and Jalen Wells, and you know what you're talking about with Zach Edey. I also think, guys, that, you know, that's another set of back-to-back games. That there are guys in this on this roster that haven't played 54 games in a long time. They're probably a little worn down. It was a disappointing night. There's no doubt, because it was a chance to, you know, make a statement, but it was also in a really tough situation.
All right, Eric, what are the vibes at the Intuit Dome? Not every day that you get to visit a new NBA arena. I mean, it looks good on the broadcast. It looks like there's some energy in there. What'd you make of
yeah,
the Clippers?
I gotta ask this. Was the wall really that loud, or were they pumping in crowd noise? Because it was loud on the broadcast.
The wall is loud. That's kind of where the people sit.
Okay.
I don't want to be disrespectful, and I've got to try to walk over here to grab my bag. So if you hear a plane engine, I promise I'm safe.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It's cold out here, by the way.
Oh, and it was also one of those annoying mornings where it snapped, like, in between. So I was hosting Jeff's show today. I dropped my daughter off at like 7:45, and it wasn't that cold. But then when you went out at like 11 a.m., it's like this, and it's brutal.
This is awful. Wind is just.
By the way, you missed 40 and raining. By the way.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I was golfing at the Biltmore.
You were in Arizona and LA. I'm so sorry for you. Yeah.
So, I'll say this: that I was impressed by the building itself. There were a few fans disguised as empty seats, more than I expected. But it's really cool. Like, the lights part is really cool. The oval, or whatever they call it, the ring, is really, really cool.
The video board, is that what you're talking about?
The Jumbotron. I liked it. I mean, I did. I liked it a lot.
Did you check out the bathrooms? Because remember, When Ballmer was talking about the arena, like, he was so pumped that it was going to have more, like, three times the amount of bathrooms that the average NBA.
Well, there was no line at the bathroom by where I was at, so
great. Yep.
It's higher up than most broadcast positions, but I don't ever have a problem with that. But getting there was kind of a pain in the butt, and they admit to that. They understood that. They're trying to make it where everybody's happy. Like, everybody was super positive. What can we do for you? How can we help you? The building itself is beautiful. I got to see, they have every high school in California a jersey from one of them. So I got to see my alma maters, and, you know, saw some other ones I was very familiar with. I enjoyed it. I was a little surprised some of the concession stands weren't open. I guess they're just not drawing as well as they'd like. It's kind of a haul to get out there.
Yeah.
As you know, Jeffrey.
Yeah. It's by the Forum, right?
Yeah, it's right next to it, and it's really a tough place to just logistically, you know, make it an easy night. And then you add in the cost of what things are in LA. As you know, Jeffrey, is not cheap. So I think they'll be fine. I think they're proving they're a better basketball team than people thought they would be. There was so much rhetoric around letting Paul George go that was negative, and you've seen the guys that have left that franchise over the years that have gone on to other places and had success, most notably Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who they just gave up on. So I think if they find a little success, they're going to need an influx of young talent. That place could be rocking. It could be one of the biggest home court advantages going, and that wall is no joke. Looking at it, they're right on top of you. It's really loud. And they're good. So, you know, I think there's something to that.
Okay, Power Rank, I believe these are the four most recent new arenas. So we have Little Caesars in Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Fiserv in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Chase Center in L.A. Or, I'm sorry, in downtown San Francisco. Kind of downtown to Jace.
Yeah.
And then we have the Intuit Dome, basically at LAX. So if you got to rank those four, how do you do it?
How are we that's a hard power ranking, though.
Okay, so
are we doing it from my perspective?
No, I say
fan's perspective.
Take away broadcast position, or if you're offered up tickets to whatever game you want to go to, how would you power rank? If you're going to sit in a comparable seat, like let's say like a medium-ish lower bowl seat in all four arenas, how do you power rank it?
So the thing about Intuit is that it's really elevated. Like it's kind of like going straight down.
They talked about it last night saying the steps are very steep.
Yeah. So that is a lot like, that's a lot like Barclays Center. And I think for me, that's not as desirable.
Yeah.
So I would rank Chase first. I would put Intuit second, but Fiserv is a close third. I like Fiserv Forum a lot. I think it's really well done. The Deer District around it is really cool. And to me, that's part of the experience.
Yeah.
For both Chase and Fiserv, sorry, I'm a little out of breath trying to get away from the plane.
Don't fly a helicopter.
Both Fiserv and Chase, there's entertainment districts right there.
Yeah.
Like you can go in there and hang out, have dinner, catch a drink after, all that fun stuff, you know. So I think you're looking at and then down at the bottom is Little Caesars. I mean, it's got the best media room food going, but it's in terms of seeing a game, it's not terrible, but it's not the other three.
What's your favorite arena? I don't think I've asked you that.
Oh, gosh. Probably Chase.
It's that great. It is that good.
So well done. Yeah, I mean, I don't have seven figures laying in the bank for...
Right, you know, for the PSA or whatever, the PSL, whatever it is.
For the courtside boxes, yeah, which are amazing. But if I had unlimited funds, it's an experience. And I like where they put us there. I'm happy with that. You know, it's a spot where we can see the game. And actually, they're really, really cool about it. Like, I obviously have a lot of family and friends in that area, or family that I consider friends, or just people that want free tickets. Take your pick, however you want to describe them.
People that have people that have your number.
Yeah. People, hey, man, remember me from high school? Actually, I don't.
Hey, Eric, long time no see. How you been, buddy?
Can I get courtside tickets for tonight? No, I'm not even sitting courtside yet. Jackweed. But I like the booth we're in because I can bring people up there and, you know, they're not like militant. It's funny. Some arenas, like they just are out. They think you're out to steal the keys to the kingdom, I guess. I don't know how it works. But
Do you think I was going to lock up? Like, going to come in and shoot? What would you think? Do you think I was just take some work on my jump shot?
The Laker people at Staples are like that. It's and it's like, yo, dude, I hate to tell you this. It's really not that big a deal. So, but I like Chase. After that, being at Madison Square Garden's nostalgic. Being in Boston is cool because of just being in Boston, and I enjoy that road trip. So,
oh no.
The best arenas are the ones where they'll let you get shot.
Oh, there you are. We lost you for a second. I think you got in your car.
Yeah, there we go. I know. I was getting in the car. I apologize.
No worries.
I like being in Boston. I think they've done great things in Atlanta, to be honest.
Yeah, people talk about that renovation being really good.
It's really good. And, you know, they the way they designed it, it's just, and again, super friendly. Know some people there. They're always great. A lot of it is the human experience there. You know, so I like all. I think the new Sacramento arena is fantastic too. I think they did a great job. There really isn't a bad one right now in the league that I can think of. Where I'm just
Smoothie
like,
King Center.
Yeah, I would say whatever New Orleans.
Yeah, that one's a little outdated. Even like, you know, whatever Chesapeake Energy, whatever they
whatever it is now in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, they did a lot of nice renovations. Smoothie King Center needs a facelift, I think. AT&T Center, it's no longer AT&T Center. The Spurs Arena's all right. Houston,
it's like Frost something, isn't it? Like it's like for something like that.
Something I don't understand. Like it all with Frost Financial or whatever. I don't know. But
what's Miami now? It's like good. It's like it looks like Kiasa or something like that.
Yeah, Phoenix is all right. You know, there's ones that are just older. Like Target Center's older. And it'll be interesting to see what happens when these teams say, hey, we're going to need a new building because we're falling behind. And the shelf life of these arenas is no longer what it once was. So do you sink, you know, hundreds of millions into renovations, or do you just bite the bullet and go, okay, we're going to build a new one? You know, Steve Ballmer saw what Chase Center did, and they said, he said, all right, here comes the check. And we were joking about it last night, and everybody's like, kind of the same thing. Like, man, it's really nice. The media room's really nice. The interview rooms, the locker rooms are beautiful. You know, just the meeting places. Like, there was a lot of space there where they can move stuff around. And I said, you know, it's funny when you spend over $1 billion to build a place, it's probably going to turn out nice. And so everybody was kind of chuckling about that. So I don't know. I'm wondering who will be next, because there are some that are due for that, and we'll see.
Probably OKC, right?
The Wizards, I think, are building a new one in Virginia, if I'm not mistaken.
So that one got political. The only reason I know about that is because Mark Giannotto was deeply invested in that, because I think he's like the one person in D.C. that cares about the Wizards. And so,
which is wild.
So I think,
I get they're terrible.
Yeah, I think they're doing. I think they're doing a version of what we're doing, which is they're renovating Capital One or whatever it is now, and then they also got the money to try to redevelop around it. And so obviously we're doing it a little differently. The money is coming for the renovations, and then they also, last week, we found out that there's going to be $175 million statewide for downtown security improvements, and then the hope is you get a little bit more security and people feel better about downtown, and then you start to redevelop the areas around it. I think that's a huge part of it.
It's interesting you say that, because in Utah they have a building that's been there for a while.
Yeah.
But the new owner, who took it over from the Miller family, is basically buying up all of the land around the building. There's a mall that was right there that a lot of things went out of business even before COVID. There had been a sports bar there, a California Pizza Kitchen. They all were gone. And so there was, it was about 60% occupied. He's just buying up that land and buying up buildings and things to basically turn it in. He wants to turn it into sports and entertainment center, because they now have a hockey team. So they have 82 nights a year guaranteed in that building. And then you've got other events. They're trying to look at bringing a Major League Baseball team to Salt Lake City. So that's the trend, is to be in a place where if you're not in the heart of downtown, you better have an entertainment district around it. And it's interesting, if it's not in downtown and already established, how that works, because Sacramento did that years ago and it was great at first, but then kind of fizzled.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby
and Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.